Well, it is so good to see you this morning. Almost Happy New Year. So glad y'all are here. I know we still have people that are out traveling. We still have family members that are here from different places. And we've gotten used to, after 2 weeks of not having an 8:30 service, it's pretty strange. I feel rested right now. And I say unfortunately or fortunately, next week we'll be back to our normal routine. Not that it matters for you, because you're the 11:30 crowd always. So if you want to switch in the new year and come to 8:30, I want to tell you, it's early in the morning, and it's great. You would love it. Come and be a part. I know this is a time of year where we are resolved to do something new, right? I'm resolved to get into shape this year. Anybody with me? All right, right? Don't be deceived. Just because I'm skinny does not mean that I'm in shape. I'm in the worst shape of my life, but it's something that I'm willing to wait to the new year to begin, right? I got one more day. And really, you can't begin tomorrow because that's a holiday, right? So, well, two more days to start getting into shape. Well, but I hope it's not our heart to wait to get into spiritual shape. You know, that's not something that we wait on. And even this morning, you know, with what we're going to get into in God's Word, I hope that it takes a hold of your heart and allows you to jump into the new year in a great way. Many people throughout time have said they are resolved in the new year to start new friendships, to get new relationships. And I praise the Lord for that type of a resolution. And I know in your families and in your life, that might be something that you have esteemed to as well. Because the Bible makes it so clear that we were created to love the Lord, first of all, right? But to love each other, to be in relationship, and to jump into great friendships with one another. In fact, if you turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 4 in verse 9, we have a banner passage that Solomon gives us just about our friendships. He says, two are better than one. Amen. Because they have a good reward for their toil. Basically, you don't want to work alone, you want to work with somebody. It's better that way. I agree. Verse 10. Not that if I disagreed, it would make any difference. This is the word of God, right? Verse 10. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but one woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Man, friendships help each other out. We pick each other up when we fall. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. We're stronger together. And we have verses like this throughout the Bible that push us into these friendships. And I love the way Solomon ends this thought to say, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now, in the context of this, this is like the three amigos now right here, right? Three of you running this relationship together. It's very powerful. The way we usually understand this verse is in a wedding, don't we? In fact, I used it in a wedding yesterday to say, right, a man and a woman are two, and then the third cord is God going around and through. And that is a beautiful statement, right? What God binds together, man, it's tough to break, tough to separate by all means. We know in places like Matthew chapter 22, if you would turn there with me, we see Jesus giving us the greatest commandment and the second greatest. And we read this verse a lot. In verse 39, he says, the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And I wish that we could just read these two verses and maybe others like them in the Bible and then charge out of here. Woo! New friendships 2018. Here we come. This is great. We're ready to do this. Why don't we do it? As a problem is that relationships are messy, aren't they? They're difficult. And as one who, just like everybody else in this sanctuary, has known relationships since the time we were born, right? And we have invested our life into friendships. We know that there's as much potential for hurt and pain in a friendship as there is for happiness, don't we? It's a curious thing when you talk about friendships. In many ways, we're like these scraps of boards that I have right here. Now, I love doing projects throughout the year. I'm not good at it. I just love it. And these are leftover scraps that I had in my garage, which is a testimony that I have very good wood economy when a project. What I buy, I don't have many scraps left over. Maybe even in your friendships or in your heart, you just feel like a scrap that's been abandoned. And I hope that the Lord speaks to you this morning and what we're talking about. You know, it's interesting, if you're going to put scraps together, they're all so different, right? I mean, this is not even the same type of board. This is a 2x4 of plywood. I don't even know what this is, right? And I don't know why I would use it, because it's obviously very cheap. Maybe that's why, because I am cheap as well. And to put these things together is a very odd thing, right? Because we're just so different. I mean, even if we were to put two boards that are similar together, they're going to be shaped differently. And I'm not just talking about, whether we're large or small physically. We're shaped differently inside. We have different personalities. We have different wants, different desires. And then to expect that to go together seamlessly, we should understand from the get-go that there's going to be some room for pain in our friendships as we try to build these things. So what do we do because of that? We put up defense mechanisms. Oh, yes, I am now the minister of defense for my own life. I will surround myself with walls. Why? So that I can never be hurt again. And we do things like saying, I'm never going to reveal that aspect of my heart to anybody else, because that's what really got me hurt last time. We say, I'm going to be like Facebook in person. I'm going to know everybody, but it's only going to be an inch deep, right? Or we become a hermit. Really, the list of the way that we build up defense mechanisms is incredible. Way too many to describe and talk about. And we think maybe our only other option is just to sit in the firing zone and have pain the rest of our life. I think for this reason, sometimes we try way too hard sometimes for our friendships, and then we mess them up even then. I mean, how many different dynamics are there to friendships, right? What if there was another way to do our friendships? What if there was a way that God would be glorified in the relationships around us? See, that's why we look to the Bible. I want you to open up with me to 1 Samuel chapter 18. And I want to testify, this is a little bit selfish sermon for me. This is actually not in Max Lucado's book, The Story, where we've gotten, the idea for preaching through the story. But, you know, my name is Jonathan. But what you might not know is that my middle name is David. And I am my own best friend. So this is a story of the friendship between Jonathan and David. Man, it's really personal to me right here. So I love this story. This is one of the great friendships that we see in the Bible, certainly on the level of what Peter and John would have been, Andrew, James, those disciples, on the level of what Ruth and Naomi would have experienced together. This is one of the banner friendships that we see. Now, I want you to know, since this is about Jonathan, David, this is about myself here, that a lot of times you look at your pastor and you say, well, you must not struggle with this. You're just preaching this to us and we struggle with it, which is never the case. But I want to tell you, in this instance, it's absolutely not the case. I struggle with friendships. One of the struggles is that I am naturally introverted. Those who know me best know that about me. Isn't it funny that God would call me to be a pastor? Don't use excuses to not answer God's call. So every time I'm in relationship with you and speaking with you, it's a testimony to the glory of God at work in my life. Now, what's interesting about being a pastor is that all of my friendships are connected to me being a pastor. And that stinks most of the time. because I mess up as a pastor quite a bit. And when I mess up as a pastor, people will say, I don't like this church. I don't like this pastor. Even if we're good friends, then it's the end of the friendship, right? And there's not many jobs that are out there where you, if you mess up as your job, you lose your friends. This is one of them. Now, I'm not complaining because I'm called to do what I do and I love it and I would do nothing else than what I do. But I'm telling you that because that's me. That's my perspective. And each of you sitting in this room, you have a perspective of why you wrestle with your friendships and what's difficult about them. And we want to use God's word. We want to stand in God's word to be able to overcome these things that are challenges to us in our friendships. Now, what's happened here in 1 Samuel 18 is that David has just kicked Goliath's butt, all right? I'm sorry to say it that way, but there's no getting around that. It is amazing. In fact, it's so amazing, we're talking about it next week. I did this a little bit out of order just because I was excited about the Jonathan David thing. So David has just slain Goliath. And every time that David is around Saul, he's around Jonathan. And Jonathan was a part of this mighty victory as well that David had wrought for all of Israel. And so we see this here in 1 Samuel chapter 18. As soon as David had finished speaking to Saul, now Saul is the king. He's the king of Israel. David's this boy. Jonathan is this boy with him, probably older teenage type of age, maybe 16 years old. As soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took David that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David, and his armor, and even his sword, and his bow, and his belt. What a strange thing has occurred here. Now, this is the beginning that we see of one of the great friendships of the Bible. What's going on behind the scenes? I want you to write a few things down that pertain to us today. First off, friendships have to be built. Now, don't just skip over this point and say, oh yeah, I know that friendships have to be built. Listen. Friendships have to be built, okay? You need to understand that. What was Jonathan and David's friendship built on? They had just had this mighty victory at David and God's hand slaying Saul. Can you imagine the emotional, spiritual connection that takes? Friendships have to be built. Now, I love to build things. But it's a curious thing when you build, it really takes time, doesn't it? In fact, I want to try to put some of these scraps together up here. And what's curious about that is that, I mean, really for a moment, you're not even going to be able to see what I'm doing. And a lot of times when we build something, we don't really have a chance to see any fruit from it when we start building it together. How do you put a bunch of scraps together? Anyway, as that's ultimately what we're doing in friendships, it's kind of a strange thing, isn't it? Well, I know I want to build you this cool picture frame, so I got to make the ends meet. It's amazing how long it takes to build something. I built a deck in our backyard several years ago, and it's not really that big of a deck, but it took me from, I think I started in August, and I finished it right before Thanksgiving. That was amazing, right? And you're wondering why I haven't invited you to stand on my deck. It can only hold two people at a time on the deck. It has a distinct weight limit, right? But I remember when I was building the deck, you know, it was one of those things with my kids. We all built it together, and how fun it was to build it together. In fact, I might have gotten it done by Halloween if my kids hadn't helped me build it together. But that's another point entirely. It's an amazing thing when you're building this. I would spend hours out there working on it, and the kids were like, you haven't done anything. What did you do? And I'm like, no, I've really been working hard, because sometimes it's just difficult to see what's being built, maybe even behind the scenes or what's being measured. Sometimes you start building and your knee knocks something and it gets out of place and you've got to go back to a measurement phase. All of this takes place, right? And sometimes, like you, you're sitting out there saying, this is a horrible illustration because I can't see a thing. It's kind of how our friendships work all the time. Isn't this awesome what I built? Look at that. Man, yeah, thank you. Come on now. I went to school to understand the Bible, not be a carpenter. But I love anytime you get to use a power tool on stage. Look at it. Oh, yeah, listen to that. Isn't that awesome? Using power tools and preaching at the same time, it doesn't get better than that. Yeah, of course, it's wobbly. It's bad. So are our relationships, aren't they? You know, as we build things in the beginning of the building phase, it's not always the best. This isn't the end result of the frame I'm building for you, right? I mean, when I was a month into the deck, it was horrible. It was awful. It couldn't hold anybody. It couldn't even balance on the boards. They were all wobbly. That's what happens when things are built. And sometimes it's really difficult because we've had maybe a relationship since we were born with somebody. And it's been so close. And then maybe we move into a new area. Or maybe we lose that person. Or they have to move away. And then we expect for somebody just to fill that void immediately and come back into it. But that's not the way that it works. It has to be built up again. And now, listen to this. Relationships are constantly being built by you. But look at the way that our relationships are organized. Facebook, for instance, does not build relationship, does it? Facebook is fantastic for me to see what your kid ate for breakfast this morning, but it helps us keep in touch. That's great. But it doesn't build something, does it? And relationships are so powerful when they're built on a spiritual experience. That's why the church is so powerful and able to build strong relationships. Because when I worship next to you, and man, our hands are clapping, our voices are raised to the Lord, and the Lord moves in our midst, I want to say, like, hey, next Sunday, let's worship together again. God was moving. You were singing. I was singing. We were, like, pushing each other. This was awesome. That's why I love people to go on mission trips. There is nothing as bonding as working something, a problem out on a mission trip with each other. Or a training center class, or a life group, that you develop and build these experiences with each other. Right? How important that is. Something like youth camp or family camp this coming year. I want to ask you this. What are your current friendships built on? Well, we had this problem, and we started gossiping about it, and so we kind of became close because of the gossipy problem. That's a problem. It's not a healthy relationship, is it? Guess what you're going to do every time you get together? You're going to gossipy mess, bad stuff. What if your relationship was built on God? See, Jonathan and David here, their relationship is built on this great victory by the Lord. Church, I want you to know this. This year, you have opportunities to build friendships that are built upon the Lord. If you're looking at your friendships and saying, oh, this is not built on God, you have opportunities for new friendships to be built on the Lord this year. Go back to verse 1 of chapter 18. He says, as soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. So their soul, in the Hebrew, it was their inner being, their thoughts and their emotions. Webster's, as he defines it, says it's your mind, your will, and your emotions. It's your personality. And God knit Jonathan and David, their personalities, emotions, thoughts, their whole soul together. That's something that can only be done by God. So in your friendships, they have to work through God's power. Listen, it's not just for you to pick and choose what you want. Now, it's an amazing thing with friendships. They have to work both ways, don't they? And this chapter 18 is all about Jonathan's perspective, but David felt the exact same way. In fact, David says this after Jonathan dies in 2 Samuel chapter 1, in verse 26, David says, "I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant have you been to me. Your love to me was extraordinary, surpassing the love of a woman." That's how deeply they felt towards each other. Now, I just want to mention this rabbit. If you Google David and Jonathan online, 90% of what you're going to get are people today with an agenda trying to say David and Jonathan were gay. That is the stupidest thing biblically I could come to. This verse, they use this verse here in 2 Samuel 1 to show, oh, he loved him more than a woman. No, this is showing the depth of their heart and friendship with one another. And it's such a stretch biblically to jump to say that they were homosexual. It makes me so mad when scripture is misused that way. Friendships work through God's power, right? So David felt the same about Jonathan. Their souls were knit together. Now, when God's power is at work in the friendship, what does God's power do? He strengthens relationship together. Now, any time that you have a square or a rectangle, again, I'm not a carpenter by any means, but, crossboards make things stronger as you're putting it together. So certainly here, when God's power is at work, let's see, I'm using my pre-drilled hole from last service. Certainly as you start putting this together here, it becomes stronger because God is at work. I can't use the hole. Look at that. It still works. Isn't that amazing? Right? Now, God has just begun to be at work. And really, if you want to make a square strong, you're going to put it across at an angle. But already, this is shoring up in an amazing way, right? When God is at work, the friendship is very strong, and it makes me want to ask you this question. How is God working in your friendships? If you don't know the answer to that question, then you need to go to the Lord in prayer. God, what are you doing in this friendship? You see, a lot of times we get the idea that, okay, in 2018, I need more friends that will fill me up. I just need friends to be about me. That's pretty selfish, right? Because God wants us to be healthy, and not every friendship is all about you, right? Some relationships, God wants you to give more to that person. God wants you to disciple that person. God might want you to mentor that person. There's some relationships where somebody might be mentoring or discipling you. God wants you to be healthy. If you are just filled up to overflowing all the time, that's not what the Lord wants. He doesn't want you to be sucked dry all the time either. We never see either one of those in David and Jonathan's example. We see filling up and pouring out, God filling them up, them pouring each other out, them filling each other with their relationship and being poured out. This is how it works in balance. Are you seeking what God wants in your friendships? Or what an important ingredient that is to the strength of them. Look in verse 3 here in chapter 18. It says, "Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul." See, friendships work best through covenant, through commitment. Now, we don't know what the nature was of their covenant. We don't know who said what or what they exchanged. The Bible never tells us that, but we do know about covenants today. Or we don't use that word. A covenant is like a commitment that stands before God, and he is a part of that commitment. In fact, in David and Jonathan's day, a covenant would be made between a greater party and a lesser party. That was the rules of the covenant. And it's always a great question of who was a greater party or the lesser party between Jonathan and David. I think in this instance, it was Jonathan as the prince of Israel who was the greater party making this covenant. Why is a covenant important? Because your relationship is not about you. It's not even about the friend. It's about what God is doing in your midst. Now, what is the covenant that we make between friends today? Well, I think that the covenant actually today is going to look a little bit different than what Jonathan and David would have done years ago in their covenants. You see, we might not know what to commit to just a friend today, but we know what covenant is, don't we? Why is that? Because we know that our lives operate through covenant. And when Jesus died on a cross for our sins, it was a covenant. He said, the blood that I'm going to shed is blood of a new covenant for you. So in our friendships, are they built on a covenant? Absolutely, they're built on the covenant of the cross of Jesus Christ. We have to see our friends in light of the cross and through the cross of Jesus Christ, right? In our life, this is a covenant that we go off of, that we use for everything. What does it mean that I'm going to go into my relationships with the covenant of Jesus Christ? Well, it means that Jesus died for my friend's sins, just like he died for my sins. Jesus died to forgive my friend, just as he died to forgive me. We're in this together. You know, I wish that relationships operated this way in the church, but what happens in our relationships, at least in 2017, what happened in our relationships? Well, if somebody did something bad to me, it ends the friendship. I deal with broken relationship stuff all the time as a pastor. People come in and this is what happened, so I can't be friends with them anymore. Right, because they broke. Even in the church, well, I said this prayer request of this deep need in my life, and then that person that was supposed to keep it confidential went to her friend, and she gossip prayer requested me, right? You know, she said it was holy in light of God, but it was really gossip. And now this person knows that thing about me, and so I've got to leave the church. This is a horrible church, and that's a horrible person, and I don't know what you're doing as a pastor, right? These are the great conversations sometimes that we have together. And it is unfortunate. It is horrible. They shouldn't have prayer requested, gossiped you like that. It's a horrible thing. There's nothing holy about that. But in the covenant of Jesus Christ, we don't need to run away from that. And in the relationship, you see, because the covenant is this commitment with Christ where we are beckoned by Christ to go in the mercy of Jesus and the forgiveness of Jesus and the truth of Jesus, right? That's all wrapped up into the covenant of the cross to go to that person and say, listen, I know you prayer requested this, but I felt like it was gossip. I didn't want you to tell anybody else about this. You really hurt me. And give that person an opportunity to say they're sorry, so that forgiveness and reconciliation can happen. And then maybe you're not going to give that person a deep prayer request for months, maybe years. But the relationship is saved. The friendship is intact. That's operating through the covenant of Jesus. Listen, it doesn't matter if they're a member of this church or a member of another church. If they belong to Christ, we owe this to each other in the covenant of Jesus to operate with truth in love. We owe it to the other person to see them through God's eyes and not just through our own. Look in verse 4. This is such a curious thing here where it says this, and Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David and his armor and even his sword and his bow and his belt. What is going on with this? Well, ultimately, with this, we're learning that friendships work through sacrifice. Friendships work through sacrifice. With Jonathan and David, Jonathan here is sacrificing his identity and the kingdom of Israel for David. Right, because Jonathan is the heir apparent. He is the successor to Saul. In fact, Saul sees what's going on. If you turn a few chapters over to 1 Samuel chapter 20, look in verse 30. Saul got so mad at his son, at Jonathan. It says, "Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said to him, 'You son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse," that's David, "lives on the earth, neither you nor your kingdom shall be established." Saul knew that. If David is here, he's going to be the king and not you. But here we see in chapter 18, Jonathan is willingly giving him this. In fact, if you turn just a few more chapters later, look in chapter 23 and verse 17. This is Jonathan speaking, and he says to David, "Do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you." Saul, my father, knows this also. Can you imagine that? Now, I want to tell you, there is no young man in the history of the world outside of the Bible that has willingly said, "Yeah, I want to give my kingdom and all these rights to you." This is such an incredible picture of sacrifice for the man that God had chosen in David. See, our friendships need to be about sacrifice, not about what you can do for me. How can I lay down my life for you? You know, as I overhear conversations and I have conversations with my own friends, it's amazing what comes out just in the conversation. Sometimes we're so one-sided in the way that we speak with somebody, right? It's all about me. I spend all my time talking to you about me and what's going on in my life. That's not relationship. That's just me being selfish. There's a reason that God gave you two ears and one mouth. There is, right? So you could hear in stereo. It's because he wants us to listen. And in a good relationship, right, we're not only giving information about our lives, we're receiving information. There's a give and a take. There's a balance to it. And that comes through sacrifice. Listen, nobody knows these things that I'm talking about better than Jesus, who walked on this earth as a man, who had friends just like we have friends. Even on the cross, remember this, even on the cross when he's dying and being tortured, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Can you imagine? Even in his death, it wasn't about himself. He was thinking about you. He was thinking about me. I love before he goes to the cross, Jesus tells his disciples in John chapter 15, if you want to turn over there with me, John chapter 15 and verse 13, he says, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." That's friendship, isn't it? You are my friends. Listen to this. The Son of God, God in the flesh, is saying this. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You are a friend of God. Isn't that incredible? I am a friend of God Almighty. Even these four things that we've talked about, you see how Jesus meticulously built the friendship that we have with him and the covenant. We see how it works in God's power. We see the covenant of the cross at work. We see the sacrifice at work. He's shown us what it means to be a friend. So church, let's be a friend to others. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for Jonathan and David and what a glorious example they are. Father, I pray that our friendships in this new year would be modeled as such. Father, that we could take the time to build what it is that you want to build. Father, that we could seek your heart in our friendships, Lord, to know who you're leading in our life. Father, if there's people that we need to disciple or there's people that need to mentor us, Father, that you would lead us organically in those situations. And God, that through your covenant and your bloodshed, that our lives would be sacrificial for those around us. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.